BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wire Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back to bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane, that's got two words for you. Drop it.
To the Raw Post Show now, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right, that's a win!
Yeah, you like that?
Awesome!
Presented by TweakedAudio.com, yeah. Because, you know, you've been commenting about his beard, and I figured, okay, she's mentioning it, so I might as well find the theme.
I'm sorry, Cody Rhodes' mustache, he looks like Snidely Whiplash. Give him the black hat and the black cape, and it would be freaking perfect. Although I keep trying to figure out who Damian Sandow is, and there actually are not a lot of bearded bad guy characters, so I'm between Benton Quest and Brutus.
So if you have suggestions, please pass them along in our chat room, and we'll throw them out as the show goes on. We're brought to you by PWMania.com as well. I'm Rock, that's Lindsay. I feel like crap, but I'm here 3 days in a row, so yeah, I'm awesome.
Woohoo!
Yes. So, I said tweaked audio as we came in.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. I was more grooving out to Dudley Do Right because I'm a dork like that.
In between comments, I said tweakedaudio.com.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Tweakedaudio.com.
Go get tweaked.
Grab a
do
pair.
It after the show.
Yes. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened up with the one, the only, Dolph Ziggler. Standing on top of a ladder. He talked about how the golden boy John Cena has been handed countless opportunities and continues to fail at winning a championship this year. Ziggler said Santa Claus, Vince McMahon, was, you know, for, you know, giving him another chance, putting him in this money, by putting Dolph Ziggler's Money in the Bank contract on the line at TLC. Ziggler, however, says he's going to be the coal in Cena's stocking. I'm going to shut you up once and for all. I'm going to beat John Cena, Dolph Ziggler said. Dolph said he's going to give himself the greatest present of all, by then beating the Big Show and going on to become the greatest world champion of all time. This brought out the one, the only, Sheamus. Sheamus said he was going to beat the Big Show and become world champion, so in order for Dolph Ziggler to, you know, win the world title, he's going to actually have to beat Sheamus. And also, Ziggler would actually have to beat John Cena to keep the briefcase. And basically, Sheamus said, I don't think that's going to happen, fella. Sheamus teased the possibility of a future World Heavyweight title match. In one corner, you have Sheamus, and in the other, John Cena. And, well, the fans came out of their seats, sort of.
Not really.
Not really, no. Big Show then came out saying, mocking the idea of how everyone's going to beat him. Show said he hasn't decided whether he intends to knock out Sheamus or use a chair to knock off his pale white skin. Sheamus asked Show where his Christmas spirit was. Show said he had none. Sheamus told he said he's tired of all talking and he can't have contact with Show, which means he should have contact with someone else. And this is where, well, Ziggler went for a ride, coming all the way crashing down from the ladder to the floor.
Thoughts? Poor Ziggler.
Poor Ziggler.
I thought it was a good opening segment.
Uh-huh.
They did a lot to build Ziggler tonight.
I would agree.
And that's exactly what they needed to do, was to make him feel like a threat, which they kind of did, but not really.
They tried.
But at least they tried.
Which is better than what they have been doing.
Yeah, so it was a good way to build the pay-per-view match and get people at least talking about it. And by the way, for all those who think this match won't be the main event, if tonight was any indication, it will be.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Even if Tally teased it, yeah, it kind of has to be the main event. Then we have our next matchup. But before we get to it, we had Vince McMahon doing a weird strut onto the stage. He was in a really happy mood, it seemed like. I couldn't put my finger on why, but even they said during the break he was, you know, messing around with the primetime players on their app. By the way, they have an app, if you didn't hear, like, 300 times tonight, they have an app.
They have an app?
Yeah, they have an app for the phone, WWE app. You didn't hear this tonight?
No, this is why I watched the show on mute.
Ah. Yeah, they plugged it all night long. WWE app. Get it today.
Nice.
Vince put over tonight's main event of Show and Cena. Vince then brought out Vicky Guerrero, saying he wanted to give her props for making that main event. But then, we had more of Vince making Vicky book some matches, and, you know, what's one main event? We need two main events. So what we're going to get? Sheamus in action. Vince whispers to Vicky, Dolph Ziggler, and she screams, Dolph Ziggler, and that's your second main event. But what's better than two main events, Lindsay?
20?
No. That's about
three?
Good. Three! We have three main events. And it will be AJ against Vicky Guerrero.
And thanks to this, this led to one of the most awkward segments ever. But yeah, you know what? If Vince is going to play boss on TV, he needs just to either take over Raw permanently or take over Raw permanently.
Right.
I mean, the first time he did the whole dance puppet thing with Vicky,
it was good.
It was good, but it's getting redundant because this is, what, the second or third time that they've now done that bit?
And the reason they did the bit again, because it worked so well last week, it drew a high rating.
You know what? It makes Vicky look ridiculous. If Vince is going to be there, and we all know Vince is going to be there every week, and he's going to undermine Vicky's authority kind of like that, then, dude, just name yourself GM and be done with it.
But he can't remember, because the board of directors won't let him do that.
Oh, everybody's forgotten that by now.
I didn't.
We don't count.
True.
We're the IWC. They ignore us.
True. Up next, our first contest of the evening. Wade Barrett. Did they change his music again, by the way?
I don't know, because Vince and Vicky interrupted his entrance, so I have no idea.
It sounded like they went back to back a theme tonight. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Anyway, Wade Barrett, R-Truth, is your opening contest on Monday Night Raw. Short. That's the best way to put it.
It was good. You had Cesaro and Kofi on commentary. It helped push both those matches, so I was all for it.
That was the bright side. R-Truth ended up beating Wade Barrett.
Boo.
Yeah. Cesaro went to ringside and got in Cesaro's face. They had word. Kofi went to the top rope and cross-bodied Barrett in the ring to end that segment. Then we have backstage the start of the night of the return of the Crazy Chick. We had AJ Giddy as she spoke to Oksana and then Kaylin about having a match with Vicky Guerrero. excuse me. AJ then entered the locker room and found John Cena with Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd, and a bunch of others. Cena was very uncomfortable with AJ there, and he held up his shirt in front of her while saying, "It's the men's locker room," and he said sorry to the other guys, and basically she wanted to tell him about the big match he has tonight.
He was holding up his shirt to cover her eyes, so that way she wouldn't see, because apparently there were naked men's in there. Now, why they didn't pan over to the naked men, I will never know.
Now, I could make a really wrong comment, but I won't.
Go ahead. What's stopping you?
My cough. is he hiding it? Hiding her from seeing them because he has something to hide?
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
Up next! Anyway, any other comments about the backstage bit?
AJ was... She was cute being all giddy and everything, but the Cena thing was really, really awkward, and you can tell they're trying to kill that romance angle quite a bit, where they have feelings for each other.
Right.
And you can see where this is headed, folks. He's going to reject her, and she's going to go batshit insane.
Which I'm okay with.
I am completely okay with. And if she doesn't end up with Hell No, I will be completely disappointed.
But I did tell you, I did say a few weeks ago, me and Mace were having a conversation about, well, we won't see the Crazy Chick return. No, we're going to get her back.
Because they realize that's what works
yes.
with her. She's not good at being the sexy chick. She's good at being the crazy chick.
Exactly. And I have no problem with that. Up next, a fatal four-way elimination match for the second half of a number one contendership match.
When was the first one? I'm curious.
Couldn't tell you, but Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara apparently have that spot.
Was it on SmackDown?
I didn't watch SmackDown.
Well, what good are you?
I don't cover SmackDown. We only preview it sometimes on the Rack. Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
I was going to say, nobody on this network covers SmackDown.
I know. But yeah, I didn't watch it. I was watching basketball. Anyway, Usos, who apparently were really popular on the WWE app, Primo and Epico, the primetime players, and Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes?
He's back, baby, with his Snidely Whiplash mustache.
I was surprised that he was there tonight.
I was surprised, but I wasn't. It was kind of one of those things where I didn't think he was as hurt as they said. Mm-hmm. And when you said February, it's just like, God, that's an awfully long time for him to be out. But he wasn't in the match that much.
Right.
So if he is still feeling the effects of that, this was a good way to bring him back and mask the fact that he's probably not 100% good to go.
Right, because let's put an injured man in a tables match. Oh, wait. That's what's going to happen.
Which means Sandow's probably going to be taking most of the bumps.
Yes. Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow won this four-way elimination match, which had the greatest chant of the night, Cody's mustache.
Cody was rocking that mustache, man.
He was, but I can't believe how loud that chant got. tonight. That was impressive.
The fans going to show that they will not have piped in chants, damn it. They don't do those kinds of shenanigans in Jersey.
No, they don't. Up next, Eve took on Alicia Fox, who was kind enough to wear a name tag on her outfit.
On both boobs.
On both boobs, to remind us who she actually is. By the way, she's a former Divas champion?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Either 2008 or 2009, I want to say. No, it was later than that.
Talk about an unforgettable title reign.
Yeah, it wasn't long. She was a transitional champion at best. I think Beth took it off her, actually. Beth or Eve, one of the two.
But when Cole said that, I was like, what?
I was more shocked that Kofi's a four-time Intercontinental champion. I didn't even know that.
Apparently, June 2010, she was the champion.
Go figure.
Eve won, by the way.
Oh, that's right. She won it after Michelle McCool left. Because somebody had to get that belt.
Okay. Eve won, by the way, and then posed for photos afterwards.
Ooh-hoo.
Yay! Nice photo opportunity for her. Up next,
by the way, what the hell was up with that?
I don't know.
That was just... Okay, if you're going to rip off Madison Rayne's gimmick by doing the little wave and then acting like some cracked-out beauty queen, I don't even know what they're doing with her right now. It's just... It's so bizarre.
I agree.
Look, either make her a bitch or turn her back face, because what she's doing right now ain't working.
She's good at being the bitch. Babyface wouldn't work for her. At least that's my opinion.
What she needs to be is she needs to be nice to everybody's face, but then she backbites. That's what she needs to be.
Which is what they sort of were doing with her. And they kind of dropped that.
Except they had her be all fake.
Yeah. Up next, we have our reigning and defending WWE Champion, sans wheelchair.
Boo!
Totally, seriously. That would have been great. Instead, no, he had crutches. They stood on the stage. Punk said there were some people who said he was faking his injury, and he assured them that this is what happens when you work a grueling schedule and hold the WWE Championship for 388 days. He says, it's a tough sport, ladies and gentlemen. They showed footage of how he got injured. By the way, how do you get injured by going through a table?
Actually, I think Punk got injured before that. I think he got injured when he took the Ryback's finisher, whatever the hell it's called.
Shell-shocked.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know. It seemed weird.
Because he was gripping his knee pretty hard.
Yeah, he was hurt before. He was hurt before then, but yeah. Anyway, they showed video footage of how he got hurt. Heyman then took the microphone and said, the fans are ticking him off. Heyman took issue with the fans chanting, Feed Me More at the WWE Champion just 6 days after surgery. Heyman said Punk needed emergency surgery. He doesn't have a stunt double like The Rock.
Which is where, this is where I went, and if you know the reference, I wanted for Heyman to say stunt cock.
Heyman is he's standing there before the people, whereas The Rock was too busy to show up. And then Paul Heyman said, well, I don't blame him. It's New Jersey, which got a lot of heat. Heyman said Punk will defend the WWE Championship against The Rock at the Royal Rumble because he isn't going anywhere. Punk wanted to address the vocal minority who said he should be stripped of the title. Punk said, most of the people are Ryback fans. Punk then challenged him to come strip him of the title if they felt that way. Punk said Cena, Big Show, Ziggler, Del Rio, Miz, Kane, Bryan, Jericho, and others couldn't take it from him. He said Ryback had two chances and failed. And Punk says The Rock gets one shot and he will also fail.
I'd like to point out that when Punk said, "You're welcome to come strip me," every fangirl of his went, right then and there. I promise you.
I believe it.
And if somebody doesn't try to get his pants from now on, I will be sorely disappointed in the fans.
Punk said most people sitting in their beds icing their knees if they were in his position. But no, he will be at TLC to watch The Shield, who he's not affiliated with.
At all.
At all. Due to Ryback, what Ryback did to him last week. And that's how the segment ended.
It was a good segment.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
Would have been better if Punk was in a wheelchair, but...
What can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? Although the way they had a bandage was really weird with the ovals around his knee. I guess that's where they made the incisions and did the scoping.
Most likely, yeah. I don't play a doctor, but that's... Yeah. Up next, we had a really good match between Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, this kind of cemented my belief that Dolph Ziggler is the workhorse of the company, because he can pretty much make anybody look good. I'm sorry, give that man a title. If he can pull that good of a match out of Sheamus, then yeah, he needs a belt now.
Yeah, he deserves to have a title at this point, because no matter how many times we've seen this match, it's happened a lot. This was pretty good, and I was impressed by it. I was really impressed by Dolph Ziggler. They let him control the action for once, instead of just get beat on by Sheamus, which was a nice change of pace. Sheamus got his moves in, but Sheamus went and set up for the bro kick. Ziggler got out of it, and brought in a chair and nailed him with the chair for the disqualification. Sheamus kicked the chair right back at Ziggler, and that's how that ended. But yeah, it was a really good match. I'm not surprised by the finish, because you didn't want either guy getting pinned at this point.
No. You want them both looking strong when they're going into your pay-per-view, so the finish completely worked.
It did. And I was happy. I was happy they didn't, you know, really bury Ziggler, because they could have, and they usually do at that point.
Well, I think they've realized that Ziggler's going against John Cena on Sunday, and they have to have him look somewhat legit for this to work.
Yep. Then we had a segment.
Oh my god.
Vicky Guerrero got double teamed by the Great Khali and Hornswoggle.
No. What do an Indian, a Mexican, and a midget all have in common?
What?
An awkward segment.
They were stretching Vicky Guerrero when Vince walked in saying, "I thought this was supposed to be a family show."
Which, you're sitting there and you're watching this knowing that was Vince's idea.
Yep. This was clearly a Vince bit. Because, you know, he gets a chuckle out of it. And after this, we then got a replay of what we didn't see on SmackDown, of a great promo done by the Shield.
Yes.
I thought it was good. It wasn't, you know, the typical promo. They had a handheld camera. And it kept, you know, going back and forth between the three guys, which was really different. And something you don't see often. Agree?
I would agree. It had a wonderful feel to it. And it had that really gritty Raw look to it where it was literally, this is what they should be doing all the time.
Right, I would want to see more of this type of promo from them, because they're supposed to be outsiders, so their promo shouldn't be high definition, pre-prepared promos.
Yeah, it should be this way, where it's literally, they're cutting their own promos and they're somehow getting them on TV.
Right.
And they've got that handheld camera, and that's how it kind of works for them. Where they've got a handheld camera and they're shooting around the arena, and then they're taking these and they're somehow getting these to the truck and they're getting on the show. Where it gives them that air of, you almost can't pin them down.
Right.
It's, you don't know where they're going to be. You don't know when they're going to strike. It's like tonight they kept saying, for the bits that I had it on, the sound on, of, well, we've been told that they're here tonight, but we don't know where they are.
Right.
So there's that rumor that they're there, but we don't know if it's actually confirmed or not. So it kind of adds to that whole feeling.
Right. They're there, but you don't know where.
Right.
That works. Works for them. Up next, Zack Ryder took on Alberto Del Rio.
Zack Ryder jobbed on Raw. What a shock.
He was on TV, and he got 6 minutes. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, that's basically what it was, a six-minute squash match. It's basically what it turned out to be.
Pretty much.
And then we got our second main event. AJ versus Vicky Guerrero. The big thing about this one was, where's the referee? Where's the referee? Anyone see the ref? And then we got the referee, Brad Maddox.
Honestly, I was waiting for Tamina to come out.
I was too.
And have her just destroy AJ.
But instead, we got Brad Maddox. His destruction let Vicky take control for a little bit. AJ got the upper hand, goes for the pin, and there was no count. AJ then got up in his face, and Vicky rolled her up for a quick 1, 2, 3. Then AJ went crazy and started throwing chairs and ripping apart the announce table, pushed the ladder over, screamed, and then, well, wound up and slapped Justin Roberts right across the face.
I was going to say, somebody look in New York for the rest of Justin Roberts' face, because I'm pretty sure that's where it landed after she slapped it off him.
She did. Oh my God.
I mean, she went for it. It's like, damn.
She didn't hold back. Now, will she get fired for attacking Justin Roberts? Or because she didn't go for the tie, she's good?
I think because she didn't go for the tie, she's good.
Okay. Because a lot of people on Twitter were talking about that. After we come back from break, AJ's still throwing shit around backstage until John Cena, you know, showed up and, you know, tried to calm her down. She was hesitant at first, and then she started crying, and he hugged her, which was interesting.
And he looked absolutely terrified.
He's like, what the fuck did I get myself involved with?
Pretty much, which I'm kind of wondering if this isn't eventually leading, and I know I keep hoping for this, and eventually if I hope for it long enough, it will happen. I'm convinced of this, because I'm in that much denial.
Well, what happened tonight that, you know, you hope for, something happened? What was it?
Basically, it's, they recommend that AJ either be institutionalized.
Right.
Or that they put her in therapy or something to that effect, and somehow she ends up with Hell No.
Could work.
Like, I can just picture John Cena turning on her and saying, you know, this chick is out of her goddamn mind. She needs help. Right. And either, and somebody steps in to help her, and it's either Kane or Daniel Bryan or both.
That'd be a nice conclusion.
Where they come in and kind of save her ass and bail her out and basically say, well, if the anger management worked for us, then maybe it can work for her too. Because they had really nice chemistry when it was them and her.
Right. It was. It really was. So, hopefully we get again. One person we won't see back, apparently, is Harold.
Yeah, dude!
He made some comments on the Twitters, I think it was. And WWE's like, we're staying away from you now, dude.
Yeah, don't... If you're trying to get a job with the WWEs, don't make the gay slurs.
Just saying.
Only Sheiky Baby can get away with that.
Up next, in another really good match, Kofi Kingston took on Antonio Cesaro.
It was a great match. I was just a little confused that it went on so late.
Why?
Just because it was like you had Kofi come out, and you had them both come out and do commentary, and then they got into it, and I guess it led to this match. And it's like, wait, what didn't... It's like you had that weird sense of deja vu. Because it's like, wait, didn't Kofi already come out?
Well, we didn't get to see him enter. He was just at the ringside. I guess. I don't know. And I like how R-Truth and Waybar got a minute and a half. They got 13, almost 14 minutes.
We can tell whose match they really care about.
So yeah, really good match. I liked the one spot where Kofi came off the top and splashed him across the back. I thought that was really good. I also liked the uppercut to the back of the head, which was different.
Yeah.
Those two spots stood out to me in this match. Cesaro ended up picking up the victory, and he continues to look strong, heading into Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, where he'll defend the U.S. title against R-Truth. Then we had Ms. TV. I don't know what to really say about this segment.
It was interesting. It had some good jokes in it. But, I mean, overall, it didn't, I guess, really serve a point other than to reintroduce Rhodes Scholars.
Carried not to the mustache. He made a joke about how Damian Sandow is the Shawn Michaels and Cody Rhodes is the Marty Jannetty. And then Miz had one great line where, where he took a shot at the fight from the other night, which was really good.
Oh, yeah, that was a fantastic shot.
Yeah, I like that. But, yeah, Cody and Sandow left, and then Miz dubbed them the Pink and the Stink. Really? Really? That's the new name you're coming up with? Really?
You know, for everything the Miz is, I like him. I just wish they would give him a direction. I mean, this is another guy that you had, and they even pointed it out, that was your WWE champion 2 years ago. He beat John Cena at WrestleMania, and now you're using him as filler.
Right.
He's not the best talker, but he can talk. He can handle the mic well. He's improved vastly in his ring work, and you're just letting him go to waste in a roster that desperately needs depth. If he doesn't fit in the WWE title picture, then for God's sakes, move him over to SmackDown. How many times are we going to see Sheamus versus Big Show? Or Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio?
Right. Yeah, they got to do something else with The Miz, because right now he doesn't seem to have a real direction.
Yeah, it's like either do something with him or release him, seriously.
Up next is... Oh, I forgot. Backstage, we have John Cena getting ready for his match. And then AJ comes up and says, I want to go to ringside. They argue, and Cena says, no, I want you to stay back here, because he would feel bad if something happened to her. And then we got our main event, John Cena versus The Big Show. Solid match?
Yeah, it was eh. What made it was Ziggler on commentary.
Ziggler was good. He gave him another chance to put himself over, which he needed to do.
And he did.
He did. Big time.
And again, it goes to show the guy has talent in spades. For the love of Christ, give him a belt.
Give him a belt.
Push him.
Push him. Let him have a microphone because that's where he's good at. He's good on the mic because he cut some great promos on Main Event. And I was just like, all right, these got to be on Monday Night Raw. And they're finally giving him that chance.
Well, the promo he cut at the beginning of the show was stellar.
It was. Big Show and Cena were fighting, and then who comes to show up but the Shield. The Shield run in and attack John Cena. Lola asked Ziggler if he had anything to do with it. Ziggler responded, I don't even know who these guys are. They continue to attack John Cena until Kane and Daniel Bryan show up and they fight off the Shield. Sheamus came out. Big Show then got back up and started attacking Cena. Sheamus came out where they put up Ryback's Titantron for him. Great production, WWE. Sheamus ran down. Yeah, it's like, I caught it. Wait, Sheamus is green, not blue. That says Ryback. Good job. Sheamus came down. And he brawled with them. Ziggler got involved. And then the fans started chanting, feed me more. And then out came the Ryback. And it was an all-out brawl to end the show.
Which was a nice way to end the show, but you can tell that they're really not putting any effort into that three-way or that six-man with the Shield, which is a little disappointing.
Hopefully we get more on SmackDown.
I hope so, because, you know, this is a match that is essentially replacing your WWE title match. You need to have it look strong.
Right.
And it needs to be important. It needs to matter. I mean, these are guys that are going around and beating up everybody, and you have your tag team champions and your basically monster face, pun intended, that you're trying to push as viable contenders against these guys or vice versa. So it needs to feel important. And I'm sorry, by the way, having Ryback again come out and save Kane, bullshit.
But yeah, I like the chaotic ending to Raw. It was different. We haven't seen a mass brawl on Raw in a few weeks or a few months.
No, it's nice. It's just, it's... I don't know. It was good, but I wasn't really a big fan of it.
So that's how Monday Night Raw ended. That 3 hours flew by.
No, it didn't. Dragged. Especially that first hour. Oh my god.
Yeah, they did. But at least they're making improvements. It's not as bad as it was about a month ago.
It wasn't as bad as it was about a month ago, but it's still just very all rights to Mace. Meh.
Yeah.
It's just very standard status. They're not... They did some different things tonight, but for the most part, everybody take a shot, you're going through the motions.
But speaking of going through the motions, ain't else on Raw Night, WWE Week is next week.
Yay! Oh yay! The Slammies are next Monday!
Slammies are Monday! A live 2-hour commercial-free edition of SmackDown is on Tuesday. You got 2 hours of Tribute Troops on Wednesday. Big Show's on Burnos on Thursday, and what is awesome, at least to me, CM Punk is hosting the USA Movie of the Night, or Movie of the Week, The Game Plan.
Which I actually may watch, just to see if he takes shots.
That's the only hook. Only hook. Is to see if he takes shots. I may just record it, and just find those segments. Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, that's the only hook to watch that. But yeah, we'll talk more about that probably Thursday. So yeah. I'm done talking for tonight. How about you?
I'm good.
Good. So let's plug shit and get out of here. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Al Logic. He has not one, not two, but three guests lined up.
Who?
Which includes Nigel McGuinness. So you check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Join Jeff Schaefer, Brian Bellotti, and Scott Barron. She put paddling Thursday night. It's The Rack.
Yes, with myself and Rock, and we're going to talk all about Impact, and goddammit, I lost in fantasy football. Fuck. But yes, we talk all about football, we talk all about Impact, and we talk all about WWE, so tune in and listen.
So yeah, Friday night, the wake-up call with Johnny Cashmere, Saturday night, CB Radio, the final edition of CB Radio before the end of the world. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap TLC, and we'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show. Hopefully I feel better.
God,
talking like forever sucks when you can't have a voice. So yeah, my 3 days of doing shows is over with. Join us for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio tomorrow night. Check out PWMania.com. Check out TweakAudio.com. Lindsay, plug some stuff.
Go to CassidyRiley.net, buy his t-shirts, buy his merchandise. He will sign it for you. He will send it to you. Go to PsychWardDesigns.com. Check it out. Go to Twitters, and you can follow me, at Lynn's Ward, on Twitter. You can follow the network, at Wild Talk Radio, on the Twitters. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Go there.
Yes. Do it all. And follow us. Like us. Anything else?
And listen to The Rack and all the other fine programming on this network.
So we'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Give it up now, never gonna work out. I'm the game changer with this, there's no doubt. You took the best shot, but it's all over now. I'm here to show the whole world. Things just come easier to me. WildTalkRadio.com